This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Nick Dunn, you're probably the most hated man in America right now. Did you kill your wife, Nick?
Everyone told us and told us marriage is hard work. Not for me and Nick.
As you all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of my wife. I have nothing to hide.
I feel like something to be jettisoned if necessary. I feel like I could disappear.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lee Chui Lin, Arvind Yuvaraj, and Sharmila Ganesan. And today, this whole week, we've got a whole doozy of unpleasantness for you. That seems to be the theme that we've gone with. Starting off with today's throwback, where we're taking it back 7 years to 2014's Gone Girl. And that's because tomorrow we'll be reviewing Rosamund Pike in I Care A Lot. So we thought we'd go back to the role that in some ways has really defined her, and that is Amazing Amy Dunn.
Gone Girl, it's well known on several levels, right? It's sort of well known as David Fincher's film, and it has all of the hallmarks of what that entails, but it was also a best-selling novel, and that was by Gillian Flynn. And if you talk about Gone Girl, the first thing that comes to mind is what you just said, that main character Amy, who is not at all your typical female character on screen. She's unlikable. The whole story is fairly unpleasant. And yet it's just such a compelling watch. And that in itself makes it so interesting, how you want to stick around for a story and people who are just so difficult to want to be around.
So Rosamund Pike scares me a lot. She's a very frightening character. And I think it's because of Gone Girl. Before that, she sort of, I always feel like she got fully formed in Gone Girl.
Not James Bond?
No. Completely Gone Girl. But also, this is one of those movies that is like so dark and so bleak. And it's kind of amazing how someone like David Fincher could make something that's so, so depressing to watch, also so exciting. Like, you cannot stop watching a movie like Gone Girl. And that has to happen because of the kind of genius that he is, right? Because he's so good at what he does that he can make you continuously watch this 2.5-hour, 2-hour long movie that is inherently very bleak at its core.
So the story of Gone Girl, it's pretty much in the title, really. It tells the tale of a guy who, Nick Dunn, played by Ben Affleck, who comes home one day to find that the wife that he was maybe planning to leave, that he wasn't very happy with, has suddenly gone missing. And it looks as if there was a violent struggle at home. He has no idea where she's gone. But as the investigation ensues, it becomes clearer and clearer that all the signs point to him having done it. And as an audience member, you're not actually sure, right? Because it's not as if you're introduced to Nick Dunn as some sort of stellar character that you know you can count on. He is no Atticus Finch. You don't go in thinking, yeah, this guy is stand-up fella. And so even as a viewer, I think the fun part is you don't really know where it's going to go. And it's only, I want to say, midway through the film that it first begins to switch perspectives and have you look at how things are going from people other than Nick. And then you get a fuller sense of where the story is going, but that essentially sets it up. It is a mystery. It's also a marital melodrama. It's also a thriller. It's also a psycho thriller. And at the very core of it, you have the pairing of Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike as Nick and Amy Dunn.
Yes, and you get to know Amy really through a series of diary recollections, of journals that she's left behind. So that's how you get to know, you get to know their relationship, you get to know what she was going through in the marriage, and some sort of insight into this mystery. Even though I don't want to say too much about where any of this leads, I think at the core, it's actually a story about a relationship, a really bad, difficult relationship, which in an odd sense, it's an odd thing to say about a film that's also about perhaps a murder mystery or perhaps a kidnapping, perhaps a thriller. you would expect these kinds of terms to be used for something that's set in an urban, gritty sort of environment. It's not. This is set in the suburbs. It's set amongst neighborhoods and families and jogging moms. And so there's something very incongruous about the whole thing that adds to this layer upon layer that you get while you're watching this film that you just never tire of.
So you say insights, and I'm thinking like the movie never explicitly tells you anything that it wants you to know. So even those insights, it's stuff that you have to watch carefully or listen carefully and learn from what people say and who's saying what to whom. And I'm just thinking like if this is one of those films that you went to the cinema and watched, and if you were not paying attention 100%, like if you treated it like a popcorn movie, I don't think it would work as much. Like it requires you to sit there and focus and concentrate and really get into like the nitty-gritty details of who is saying what and who's doing what. Then the thing sort of becomes this very well planned out narrative. Otherwise, you might have to go back and watch it again if you missed out on some of the things, because it might fall short if you don't have all the details.
So I want to address something that you said much earlier, Arvind, which is that it's bleak. And interestingly, I've never found Gone Girl bleak. I know it is. Mm. I mean, I get it, because after all, we've been using words like toxic and all of that is accurate. You know, it really is that way. But I think the reason why it doesn't feel bleak to me is perhaps because it is a really enjoyable watch. There's something about the film that is inherently entertaining, even though in a perverse way you probably shouldn't be entertained by what's going on. But I just felt it important to say at this point, because I feel like if you've never seen Gone Girl, even though it was a huge blockbuster hit, but if you've never seen Gone Girl and you're listening to us talk about it, I think you would think it's a very different movie than what it is, when in actuality, it's kind of it's subversively funny. It's a little bit odd. It's shot beautifully. It's the coldest of David Fincher's films. And that's saying a lot. The guy tends towards a very cold tone in general, but it's got all that going on. And because of that, I think the reason why such an unpleasant story and unpleasant characters become okay to be around is because it's such a good movie to actually watch.
Oh, Gone Girl is. I love David Fincher's work in general. Gone Girl for me is hands down one of the top three favorites of the films he's made for me. And that's saying a lot. He makes really good films, really good thrillers. I think it says a lot that he's able to create all of that atmosphere in exactly what you just said, with humor. With stories that shouldn't seem this terrifying. And that's exciting. I mean, David Fincher's films are exciting in general. They're never boring to watch. And this is definitely, well, Mank maybe. But this one, you know, besides the humor, you also have these great performances. You have Rosamund Pike, you have Ben Affleck. Both of them are at the top of their game. But also all the supporting characters that are in the film, they all bring this sort of weird subversiveness to all of their roles, which just keeps you thoroughly invested in what's happening.
It's also the most graphic and explicit of David Fincher films. So there is no full version of Gone Girl that's made it into Malaysia. Even when you buy the Blu-ray, it's chopped up. So it has gone through its censorship. And that's something that never happens to Blu-rays, because normally when it ends up on like quote-unquote home video, it's in its fullest form. But Gone Girl is censored because there are some things that they just couldn't let pass. Obviously on streaming services, it's not. But so saying that it's the most graphic, David Fincher is saying a lot, because he really goes places with this. A lot of the scenes are difficult to watch. It's not something you can get away with if you're around family. It's not a casual watch, is basically what I'm saying.
So I watched it in the cinema in the US, because that's where I happened to be when the movie came out. I was traveling back when we could travel. And so I found myself in New York and I watched it alone, because I was by myself and traveling. And I actually think that for that reason, it's one of my most memorable cinema going experiences, because if there's ever a movie to watch with someone else, actually, it's Gone Girl. It's such a great discussion film after, especially if you took somebody that you are ostensibly in love with. It's fantastic, because it's a real acid test. But I was alone. And so I got to see the whole thing, right? The uncut thing in all its forms, and also got to hear people laugh at the more caustic American jokes, because the whole premise of who she is, the cool girl. Some of it is very universal and some of it is deeply American. And so it was really fun. I do think it's a bit of a waste if you've never seen the full uncut movie, yes, even though some parts are really tough. But the toughness is what makes it great.
I have to say, given that I watched it in the cinema here when it came out, even the cut version, I think Fincher knew parts of the world would get a cut version.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it's shot, you fully know what's happening, even when you don't actually see it happening, which gives you as much of that sick to the stomach feeling as the full version.
So he kind of pulled like a Tyler Durden in the editing rooms where he sort of slipped the stuff that he didn't want people to see out and slipped other stuff in. Yeah. I want to go back to when you said that it's a very fun watch, also because I would say that it's fun in a way crime documentaries are fun, which is not fun, but you cannot stop watching because of how glued you are to the screen. So that's just my like sort of definition of Gone Girl's brand of quote unquote fun.
Mm, totally get it. We're talking today about Gone Girl. It's a relatively new throwback for us. We're doing it because Rosamund Pike keeps insisting on scaring the daylights out of us in these roles. And so, yeah, let us know. I mean, have you watched Gone Girl? Have you seen it recently? Have you revisited it? You can let us know by WhatsApping 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvind. Today, it is, of course, Throwback Tuesday, and we are taking it back only 7 years to Gone Girl. And this was, of course, directed 2014, David Fincher. We've run through a number of people that it involves because, of course, Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike, the starring duo. I wanted to bring up Tyler Perry because I know Tyler Perry is... if you enjoy his movies, you really like them. And if you don't, he is a little bit almost like a shortcut joke, a shorthand. But I thought he was so good in this movie. And I think when I spoke about it earlier being subversively funny, his character kind of almost single-handedly embodies that.
Oh, I completely agree, right? He's that guy saying the things that, you know, like a heckler in a film, except the heckler's in the film, but also
yeah,
it's really funny.
Nobody should say these
things. Like, dude, your marriage is really messed up. And then he's laughing. And like Ben Affleck could potentially get the death penalty. And yet you're kind of like, yeah, you guys are really messed up. No, he completely brings that. And even... I think that actually Ben Affleck inherently, because of how good looking he is, the subversion also comes from you want to laugh at him. You want to kind of punch his face.
Yeah.
But you also recognize the things that are happening to him are not fair entirely.
Mm.
And so there's that weird sort of like push and pull of the humor in a lot of these situations. And I think that's why it's weird to call this film fun, but it is. It's fun. It's almost a darkly funny thriller.
So I think it also is like, you mentioned Tyler Perry. This movie is a platform for a lot of people who I think the audience has forgotten how good they are as actors. This movie is a good platform for them to show how good they are as actors. Like Ben Affleck is a really good actor, but because of a few choices he made in the past, people forget how good he is. And he gets to flex that muscle quite a lot here. Like he really, really brings it. A lot of other people who pop up, I don't know if we can mention their names because they are like, you know, they are reveals. They are also They play roles that people normally wouldn't expect. Like you mentioned, like subversive and stuff. I don't know if that was a choice that David Fincher made. Like he purposely went out and chose these people because he's like, look, they're good. I know they're good. So I'm gonna do this film and let them have this as their playground and just show people how good they are in their craft.
Yeah, I think there is that. But I also think the fact that David Fincher is a notorious perfectionist feeds into why everybody got so good, because he is so known for, you know, just the multiple takes, for exhausting his actors with the endless redos. And I think that I completely agree that they are good actors who maybe aren't always given the best platform. I'm looking at you, something like The Accountant. But it's... But the reason why this movie works is because it's like clockwork. You have to believe that ultimately the person pulling the strings is pulling it as precisely as the character in the movie who is also pulling all the strings. And I think it is that double layer of everything running exactly as it should, whether you want it to or not, that makes the movie such an alluring watch. Because honestly, every time I rewatch the film, I never feel bored. There's not a moment where I'm like, oh, I already know what's going to happen. Let's just fast forward to the shed. Okay, now let's just fast forward to the dad's house. Like, I never feel that way. Sometimes there's like a 5% of me that still feels like, what's going to happen? And I don't know how the movie does that.
So I don't think we've talked enough about Rosamund Pike's performance, to be honest, and that what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. She is a huge part of it because she's required to do multiple things. She plays herself at different points in the story, different points in life, different parts of Amazing Amy's life. And so much of how we what we believe, what we think is going to happen, what we expect and then are faked out by has to do with her and her face. You know, the way she smiles, the way she stops just short of revealing something with her expressions. I think all of these are, the more times I watch the film, the more I appreciate how difficult that performance is, especially because she looks like your typical beautiful film heroine that you don't see, you never see these layers emerging.
Which makes me think about how did David Fincher choose her in the beginning? Because now it's easy to choose Rosamund Pike for those roles. Like anytime you need someone to play this, Rosamund Pike's the go-to. But back then it had to be sort of like you have to have an eye for that kind of casting to go to Rosamund Pike and say, I think you can do this. Because you choose the wrong person and someone who cannot pull off those emotions and cannot contort their face in those ways or not contort their face in any ways, and you have a failed film. Like people don't believe in the character or people are not, like, you know, engrossed enough, right? So I think that the choosing of Rosamund Pike, if it had gone off even by a percent, this movie falls apart. So it's 100% on her shoulders.
So he spoke about this, actually. He talked about how it was something about the self-possession that she showed even in a casual meeting with him. So, you know, it was one of those sort of wooing the actress just over dinner. Let's sit down. Let's have, you know, let's talk. And the other, he said, was the sense that she was an only child. And so there was that isolation that was kind of built into her and an unreadability as an actress that he wanted to tap into. And I still believe Rosamund Pike as a good person, meaning if she were after this to play in a film where she was just a rom-com lead, I'd still go with that. I just think she's really interesting as sort of the anti-John Hamm, in that they are both people who, by Hollywood standards, are stereotypically really, really good looking. And I think with John Hamm, there's been a struggle to figure out, okay, you look like a leading man, you talk like a leading man, why aren't you quite what we're looking for? And with Rosamund Pike, she looks like she could be in 20 different rom-coms because she's got that face and that carriage and you just believe it. And I like that she's gone in the complete other direction and she's like, I will haunt your dreams. You know, I'm into it.
No, I love it. And I think that really we are being made to be almost the characters. How the characters react to her in the film is actually how we are reacting to her as well. Mm. We are getting the Amazing Amy experience as we watch the movie. And I think that's fully what Fincher intends to happen.
Do you guys like the music in this film? Because when I first watched it, I remember liking it a lot, like the soundtrack. I thought the score was like perfect. But in a weird way, I cannot remember what the music sounds like, if that makes
sense. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to be like, I know it's Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross because he always uses them. I cannot remember the music.
That's so funny. The music sticks out for me, mostly the theme that they use to talk about the Dunn's romance. So, for example, there are a few things I think about, right? Like the sugar in the air and how it looked like it was snowing and how that same theme is used later on when she sees him at his bar doing something that he shouldn't be doing. And just the idea of this one theme being used both as a romantic motif as well as things are going terribly wrong, you know, kind of motif. I can hear the little tinkling. It's an interesting score because it's not kind of deep and booming. Instead, it lives very much up. It lives in like bells and whistles, quite literally.
So I think the reason And I don't mean that as a bad thing. I think the reason it's not something I immediately think of is because it feels almost organic to what you're watching. It feels, it has the feeling of being a part of memory in a weird way.
Yeah.
And I like it. I just don't particularly remember it.
So I think that Gone Girl is actually a genre-ruining film. I think it's one of those films that shows up and makes it very difficult for subsequent films to live in the same genre. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for something like that to... It's been 7 years and it's still a touch point. I think it will be a touchstone for the next few weird sort of marital psychodrama films to come out. Because I think of something like Girl on a Train and how much it suffered just living in comparison to Gone Girl, because it was also based on a book. It was also based on a troubled marriage, a troubled lead character. And I just think that Gone Girl, for good and for ill, is going to become one of those films that has ruined this genre until the next thing comes along to wreck it all or to change things, because it was that good.
But at the same time, I don't want a Gone Girl every couple of years.
No.
It's one of those movies that you watch once in maybe 15 years and then the next one pops up, because too many like this, even if it didn't destroy the genre, I don't think a lot of stories like this can work, because after a while you're just like, oh, I can see what's coming from a mile away. So it's one of those films that has to happen maybe once every 15, 20 years, then it creates the kind of impact that it did.
So we've been talking today about Gone Girl, which was released in 2014, directed, of course, by David Fincher, starring Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike. Let us know if you've watched it, if you've rewatched it recently, if you love it, hate it. Did it make you reassess your life? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio and, of course, write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.